You're listening to the Radio Diaries podcast. I'm Joe Richman. At Radio Diaries, we help people document their own lives in their own words. Our stories air on NPR and on this podcast. We're a nonprofit organization, and we rely on listeners like you. So if you want to help keep this podcast free, go to our website and click the donate button, radiodiaries.org. Today, the story of one of the strangest literary hoaxes of the 20th century. Asa Carter was a speechwriter for George Wallace in Alabama and penned one of the most infamous speeches of the era, Wallace's Segregation Now, Segregation Forever address. Forrest Carter was a Cherokee writer who grew up in Tennessee. His autobiography, The Education of Little Tree, is a beloved classic that has sold millions of copies around the world. These two men could not have been more different, except they weren't. This is The Two Lives of Asa Carter.
Ma lasted a year after Pa was gone. That's how I came to live with Grandpa and Grandma when I was 5 years old. I was Little Tree.
The Education of Little Tree is the story of a Cherokee orphan boy who, at the age of five, goes to live with his Indian grandparents and learns the wisdom of his Native American ancestors.
I followed Grandpa down the trail. The wind had died in that late afternoon of winter, and I heard Grandpa ahead of me humming a tune. I would have liked to live that time forever, for I knew I had learned the way.
You really felt for this little boy growing up in the Tennessee mountains. It made my heart sing, and I thought it was actually the truth.
Let me tell you of a time in Tennessee when da 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 dee. My name is Ron Taylor, and this is my copy of it.
It has gotten rather tattered.
His signature page, it says, "For Ronnie, my friend, whose loyalty to the Southern cause has made us comrades. Forrest Asa," end quote, "Carter." The only time he ever signed it that way.
It's time for another essay on liberty by Asa Carter.
Thank you.
The one great truth is race. From each
Asa
race,
Carter had a colorful background, to say the least. My name is Wayne Greenhall. I've been a reporter in Montgomery, Alabama since 1965. And back in those days, Asa Carter was a segregationist Ku Klux Klan, and he worked as a talk show host in Birmingham.
The left winger so much wants to make our history a shrouded nothingness of confusion, to twist the songs of our fathers into bebop rhythms, and to degenerate our mores into a cacophony of tales. You've been listening to Ace Carter with an essay on liberty.
In the early 60s, he got a job as Governor George Wallace's speechwriter.
They'd call him and tell him what they wanted, you know, and they'd just give him a cup of coffee and two packs of Pall Malls, and he could write you a 20-minute speech in 30 minutes.
I draw the line in the dust and toss the gauntlet before the feet of tyranny, and I say segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever.
The George Wallace Segregation Now, Segregation Forever speech. It's vehement, it's mean-spirited, it's hateful. It's like a rattlesnake was hissing it almost. But it's beautifully written. And it all came from Asa Carter's pen.
My name's Tom Turnipseed, and I was director of George Wallace's national campaign. Times changed, and Wallace wanted to cool it a little bit. He wanted to be more moderate. Asa's views were too extreme. And so Governor Wallace, he just kind of brushed Asa aside. So Asa got mad at Wallace and ran for governor.
The 44-year-old Carter has four children with names that echo the old Confederacy like Tara and Bedford, and he has long embraced right-wing causes.
Do you think that it's immoral for whites to have to go to school with blacks in Alabama?
Oh, absolutely. Of course, we can't have that.
But Asa Carter, he lost. He was a fourth of a four-man race. And so George Wallace became governor again.
We present to you the next governor!
I was covering the inauguration in January of 1971. And after the speech, I found Asa out on the back steps of the Capitol. And we sat on the stairs talking. And he started crying. He said, "Wayne, George Wallace sold out. He's betraying us to the liberals of this nation." He stood up and turned around and said, "Farewell."
"Well, I am just an old rebel. Reckon that is all I am. For this carpetbagger government, I do not give a dad blame. I'm glad I fit again it. I'll keep fighting till we won. And I don't want no pardon for nothing that I done. This is Asa Carter. May God bless you, and I thank you for listening."
And that's the last time I ever saw it. Asa Carter, he just vanished like he dropped off the face of the earth.
My name is Chuck Weath.
I'm Betty Weath.
And I and my wife ran a bookstore in our town of Abilene, Texas. In 1975, this man came walking in the store and said, "I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Forrest Carter."
He wore a cowboy hat, blue jeans, and had a mustache.
He's dark-complected, smile wrinkles around his eyes.
He was so friendly.
He said he was Cherokee, and he didn't have parents. They died in a car wreck, as he told us. And he was raised by his grandparents back in Tennessee. No electricity, no running water. And I liked him. From the very start, I liked him.
Forrest wanted to be a storyteller, and so he started writing. In 1973, he self-published the novel, Gone to Texas.
My name is Dan Carter. I'm a historian, and I'm writing a book on Asa Carter. He literally sends his novel out over the transom to a number of Hollywood people, including Clint Eastwood. Eastwood reads it and immediately likes it. And so they sign a film agreement with Forrest Carter, as they know him, to produce what becomes the film The Outlaw Josie Wales.
He lives by his word, and he lives for revenge. Clint Eastwood is the outlaw Josie Wales.
"You're going to pull those pistols or whistle Dixie."
And over the next 5 years, he writes away. And he became more and more a kind of public personality.
In 1975, Forrest Carter was invited to New York to be interviewed by Barbara Walters on the Today Show.
"Good morning, this is Today. I'm Barbara Walters with Jim Hart."
She asked him questions, and he said, "Well, he rounded up cattle, wrangled horses," and then he says, "and when I'm in Oklahoma, I'm the storyteller to the Cherokee Nation."
I literally got down in the floor laughing and rolling around. Called the wife. "Asa's on TV. He's on with Barbara Walters." And I'm just rolling around on the floor laughing because Asa had pulled it. You know, he had fooled him.
And it just bumfuzzled me. I was working for the Alabama Journal. And I thought, well, hell, I've got to find out if this really is Asa. So I started interviewing more and more people. Sure enough, in a few days, Forrest Carter called me, and he said, "You this Green Hall boy writing about me?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Now you don't want to hurt old Forrest, do you, boy?" And I said, "Come off of it." He said, "I recognize that voice." I said, "I'm not trying to hurt you, but I want to tell the truth about what is going on here." And he pretty much after that hung up. And the story ran in the New York Times, August the 26th, 1976.
I really honestly believe that once readers knew who this individual was, it would cause them to reject the books. But it was like it didn't take. People just ignored it. They denied it, and that was it.
Forrest Carter died in Texas in 1979. He was brought back to Alabama, and they buried him out in the country where he grew up. The tombstone reads, Asa Earl Carter. But probably the most interesting thing about his entire ironic life was the huge success that happened after he died.
In the late 1980s, the University of New Mexico Press reissued Forrest Carter's autobiography, The Education of Little Tree.
One time, Grandma told me, when you come on something good, first thing to do is share it with whosoever you can find. That way, the good spreads out where no telling how far it'll go.
A sweet, sentimental story of this little Indian boy, and it suddenly exploded. It just took off.
Oh, everybody loved it.
Customers read it and passed it around to friends or sent it on to relatives.
People cried. They cried through that book. It changed their lives.
The word that people use is this is a deeply spiritual book. It sold well over a million copies. It's translated into other languages. Oprah Winfrey endorsed it on her television program, and it was number one on the bestseller list of the New York Times, despite the fact that it was not what it appeared to be. For one thing, the Cherokee words that he uses aren't Cherokee at all. They're words he made up.
Mono Lao, the Earth Mother, came to me through my moccasins. She was warm and springy and bounced me on her breast, as Grandma said she would.
Most people who love the book simply could not imagine that the former Klansman, racist, anti-Semite, this person couldn't have written The Education of Little Tree.
Well, one way you look at it, it's a tree hugger's book. You know, it's all about nature and, you know, and this, that, and the other. And the other way, it's a right-wing government leave me alone book, you know. The government took Little Tree and put him in an orphanage, you see. And the government did this, and the government did that to the American Indian. And that's the way I read it. Asa Carter. I wish I knew what he thought. I really do. But I honestly don't know.
On that smoky mountain ridge in Tennessee,
I could tell you of a trail in Tennessee.
37 years have transpired since Forrest Carter walked through our door. Do you think that it's been a difficult thing to reconcile these two different people?
Well, I personally chose to remember the Forrest Carter I knew and the other life he seemed to have had. I just sort of dismiss it.
I agree with that. I didn't like Asa Carter, I'll guarantee you, but I did like Forrest Carter.